Cleon?
Yes.
Yep. Can you hear me? Right. I was thinking whether to take this coat off or not, but I'll keep it on. Good morning. How are we? Are we well?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Amen. Well, this morning, it's a good morning.
Yes.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in this day. In spite of what's going on around us, my encouragement to you, rejoice and be glad in this day, because this day is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, this morning I have the privilege to share with you from the book of Luke. We're still going through the book of Luke. And I have the privilege this morning to share with you the parable of the Good Samaritan. I just want to recap a little bit something that stuck out with me last week when Steve preached. No, he preached from Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sent out the 72, yeah? And, you know, he commissioned them to go out there, and he sent them as lamb among wolves, right? And to cast out demons, to pray for the sick, you know, and this stuff. But one thing stuck with me is the end part. They went back rejoicing. You know how the demons submit to them? But the word that stuck out with me, Jesus said, don't rejoice because the demon obey you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And this morning I will say, rejoice because your name is written in heaven. In everything you do, make sure that your calling and your election is sure and your name is written in heaven. Amen? Amen. Right. This passage is a well-known passage. It preaches so many times, and people may ask why we need to hear it. Why we need to hear it again. Every time we hear it, we learn something new and inspiring. And my thought was, how can I bring something new and inspire you today? How can I bring something new and inspire you today? And I do hope, as I bring this word, you will learn something new and it will inspire your heart to be a good Samaritan. Amen? Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for watching over this word. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I pray that you liberate our hearts this morning. I pray that our hearts will be open to receive what you have in store for us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we'll not just be hearers of your word, but we also will be doers of your word, Lord. I just pray that you bless each and every one of us. And Lord, I just pray that you will fill our hearts, that you will, Lord, whatever the word has to do today in our lives, I pray, let it be done, Lord, according to your will. So I give everything over to you, Lord. I pray that you anoint my lips. I pray that you cut down what need cutting down, Lord. Build up what need to build up, Lord. And Father, I pray that we'll encourage, we'll be strengthened, people will be saved, and people will come to know you as Lord and Savior and Master, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and praise God. Right. If you have your Bible, your tablet, or whatever, or it will be on the screen. The word will be on the screen there, so you can follow. And it's Luke chapter 10, taking it up from verse 25 to verse 37. And this is what it reads. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But the Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarios, or 2 silver coins, some translations said, and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." "Which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Amen. Many of times, Jesus was being tested by the religious leaders to see if they can accuse him or trap him by saying the wrong things. Have you ever found yourself in that situation? You see, the world always seek to accuse or trap us. You may not believe that, and let me explain to you why. The world is hostile towards God. Believe it or not, the scripture says the world is hostile towards God. And if we as Christians have it in our mind that the world gonna come and love us and cuddle us, think again. It wouldn't happen that way. Jesus said, "The servant is not greater than the master." And if they persecute him, if they ridicule him, if they accuse him, they will accuse you. If you are truly authentic Christian, the world don't have your best interest at heart. Let me make that clear. The world don't have your best interest at heart. Not now, and not never. We have to see things from God's perspective, not the world perspective. The world love its own. The world care for its own. The world is governed by the enemy. Who is the enemy? The devil. He's the accuser, he's the tempter, and he's the deceiver. And the world is governed by him. So the world always ought. When you as a Christian witness to somebody, most times when you confront them with the truth of the wrong that they're doing, they say you're judging them. That's the first thing they say. Why are you judging me? No, I'm not judging you. I love you, so I'm pointing you in the right direction. When Jesus pointed point out the wrong that the people do, what they want to do, they want to stone him, they want to kill him. They never try to do what is right. Because Jesus' way of doing things is different to the way the world do things. And we as children of God, a true and authentic Christian, we do the same thing what Jesus do. So the world is always there to trap us or to accuse us. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So we see we have here an expert in religious law who's supposed to be clever, stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. What should I do to inherit eternal life? What do you think was his motive behind that question? The truth is, I don't know. I don't know the answer. He may be asking the question out of a sincere heart. He don't know the question, but he's supposed to be an expert in the law. So he should know that. You see, eternal life is a gift. We cannot earn it by doing good deeds or work. How do we acquire eternal life? By good deeds?
No.
By doing works? No. What does scripture say? Let me take you back to John 3:16. What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever believe it is not whosoever do good works or do good deeds. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life is for everyone. Eternal life is for everyone. Whether saved or unsaved, eternity awaits us. Eternity awaits us. It is from God. Mankind will face eternity. It starts right here, right now. Not when you die. It starts right here, right now. But the question or the answer is, where will you spend it? And who will you spend it with? I cannot answer that for you, but I can answer it for myself. Eternity awaits each and every one of us. Where will you spend it? Where will you spend eternity with? Well, I'd rather to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? Jesus pointed the expert back to the commandments of God. If the question was, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Then the answer was simple. Keep the law of God and keep it well. The first part of that, it seems a bit sarcastic. What does the law say? In other words, Jesus says, you are the expert who interpret the law. Well, then you tell me what it says. If your expertise is in doing the law, well then, why are you asking me this question? You tell me what it says. That's your that's where you being the expert in. You tell me what it says. I think he was being a bit clever with our Savior, but our Savior is cleverer than he. I love one of David Parson's quote. He say, being clever is to make money, but to be wise is to make the most out of everyday life. And Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you are getting, get understanding. You see, being clever is fleshly, but being wise is being from God, really. Wisdom comes from God. And if you operate in the flesh, you can't please God and you cannot understand the spiritual things. You know, sometimes you speak to people who don't know Christ and you try to explain the scripture to them, but they don't get it. They don't get it. You ask the question, why? It's like Jesus speaking to these religious leaders and he say, why is my language, why you can't understand my language? But you see, they see things from the world point of view. But when you are spiritually led, you see things from the spirit point of view and from God point of view. And we as Christians should see things through the eyes of Jesus, the Spirit, because we are spiritually led. We are spiritually minded. The carnal mind cannot understand the spiritual things. It is foolishness to them. They just can't understand. The world can't understand. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I'll be saved. That is too hard for them to believe because it's too simple. But it is what it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. That's all. You don't have to go and do anything to impress Jesus to be saved. Just believe. But the world will think that you have to, it's more than that. You have to do so much thing to get saved. But no, Jesus said, just believe. So the scripture says, the carnal-minded man cannot understand spiritual things because they are led, they are fleshly led. But those who are spiritually minded understand spiritual things. Romans 8 and verse 5 said that. And when you don't have the Spirit of God, you cannot understand the things of God. Man's intelligence is not to be compared with God's knowledge. It is no match. It is no match. Man sees things from the world point of view. That's why Isaiah says in Isaiah 55 and verse 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So you see, our education, our profession, or being a clever speaker doesn't make us wise. I have a saying from Francine, you know, and this is from a madman, right? This is a madman speaking. When I say mad, he mad, right? And this is what he says. He said, bright, bright is not right, right. In other words, you might be bright, but not everything you say is right, right? So you say, bright, bright is not right, right. And Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but the end leads to death. Or some translations say destruction. There is a way, that phrase, there is a way that seems right. And in the world eyes, you know, they see right as wrong and wrong as right. It is true. That's the scripture say that. They call wrong right and right wrong. I'll leave that for you to figure out. Get your homework and go and find that scripture and you will understand what I'm saying there. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." The expert was wise enough to know this was the essence of the law. Knowing the requirements of the law, now all the expert had to do was to do what the law says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" The expert measured himself against both commands and figured that he obeyed the first command well enough. But Jesus dropped a bombshell on him. The first mistake was assuming that he fulfilled the first commandment when you really consider what the word means to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This doesn't mean that we must love ourselves before we can love anyone else. It means that in the same way we take care of ourselves and are concerned about our own interests, we should take care and have concern for the interests of others. Our neighbor is not just who we live next door to, or our friends, those who does well for us and are nice to us. It goes beyond that. According to 1 John 4:20-21, it says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people who we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see?" And he gave us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. And not just your fellow believers. We need to love our enemies according to the scripture that says to love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Jesus say, not just love those who love you, and be nice to those who be nice to you. He said the pagans do those things. But God take it a bit further. We need to love those who look down on us, those who reject us, those who persecute us, those who done wrong to us. We need to reach out to them. We all know the story behind the Jews and the Samaritans. When the Jews returned from the Babylonian captivity, the Samaritans, who were remnants of the northern kingdom, offered them to rebuild Jerusalem. But they were rejected as impure religious heretics, people who teach heresy. The rejection of the Samaritans by the Jews, the resentment of the Jews by the Samaritans continue until Jesus' time, and it still continues today. The Samaritan does not represent one who reached down to show love to those beneath him. The Samaritan show empathy, compassion, and care to a person who normally would look down on him and despise him. Yet the Samaritan, with a heart of love, showed empathy, compassion, and care for his enemy. He simply saw him as a human being in need and in distress. according to Matthew 5 and verse 44, says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be called children of your Father in heaven." You see, the story with the Samaritan is not we love those who love us and who do well to us and who will look after us, but we even love those who don't love us. We love those who don't care about us, those who reject us, those who think about us as nothing. We need to love them. To be a good Samaritan, we need to go that far. Love them who don't love us, those who treat us badly and think of us as the worst. I want to conclude here, and I have a story. Just pay attention. Here's the story of the Good Samaritan, as it would read when we read it with spiritual eyes. Jesus answered and said, "Adam went down from the paradise of God to Satan's domain. There Satan stripped him of his clothing, caused him to sin and depart, leaving Adam spiritually dead and separated from God. Moses came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, because the law revealed sin but could not remove it. Likewise, Aaron of the Levitical priesthood, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side, because the animal sacrifice could not permanently remove sin and restore Adam's descendants back to God. Then Jesus came. He came where he was, you and I, because sinful man could not come to him. And when he saw him, you and I, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged up his spiritual wounds and poured in the Holy Spirit and his own blood to heal and revive his dead spirit. He placed man's sin on the cross and established the church to care for him. On the next day, when he departed, he paid the minister for 2,000 years of labor. He commissioned the ministers by saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' Here is the lesson to the story. Your neighbor is any sinner who needs salvation. Have compassion on him or her, pouring in wine, the blood of Christ, the oil of conviction of the Holy Spirit, to get them saved, and prepare him or her for the return of our Good Samaritan, Jesus Christ." The Great Commission, Matthew 28 and verse 19 to 20, says, Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I command you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." You see, we as believers, we need to seek the lost, the spiritually dead, and tell them about Jesus. And like the Good Samaritan, we too will be rewarded by our Heavenly Father. Let us not be like the priest and the temple assistant who walk on the other side, for surely they too will have their reward. But my encouragement to you today, to be that good Samaritan, don't just love those people who love you, but love those who don't even love you, who don't care about you. See them as a human being in need and need your help. And our duty as good Samaritan is to point people to Jesus. Go and bandage up their wounds. As I think as Isaiah said, you know, he anointed us to preach the good news, to set the captive free, and to heal the sick. We need to do all these things. Go to be a good Samaritan. Let us demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ, pointing people to Jesus. Help people that is in need, who are in need, and need our help, because we are the good Samaritan. We are the ambassador, a representative of Christ, and Christ is our perfect example. He set the pace, and we need to follow. He went before us. He is our good Samaritan, and we're supposed to be the good Samaritan for those who are in need. This is my word to you today. I do hope you receive something from it, and God bless you. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking through me. I thank you for using me. I thank you, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be that good Samaritan you call us to be. And wherever we go, Lord Jesus, in our workplace, as you commission us to go out into the world, Lord, our Jerusalem, our Samaria, our ends of the earth, it's even here in our workplace, wherever we go, because there are so many nations, Lord, in this tongue, in this place. But help us, Lord Jesus, to go out there and be that good Samaritan, Lord Jesus, to spot the need of people. They need Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Help us, Lord, to help them, even our loved one, even in our home. In our homes, Lord, to be that good Samaritan. Lord, to our loved ones, Lord Jesus, that need you, who are wounded, Lord Jesus, half dead, Lord Jesus, but they need life, and life is only in you. You say you come that they may have life and have it to the fullness, Lord. And I just thank you that you help us to be that good Samaritan who will, Lord, point people to you and show them the way, because you are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. Life is in you, Lord Jesus, and they will find life in you, Lord Jesus. Just like all that Samaritan had compassion, pity that man, Lord. And even that, I figured that man was a Jew, Lord Jesus. And you know, the Jews and the Samaritan, Lord, they are enemies, Lord. But he still reach out. He still reach out on the one who reject him, who see him as nothing. But he still reach out to that man. And Lord, he take care of him. Help us to do the same, Lord Jesus. Help us to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen and praise God. Amen. Over to you, Jeff.
Thank you, Savannah. As the band are reassembling, because they've been practicing upstairs, I think that we are going to have an opportunity to be a good Samaritan over the next few months. We are. There are people out there who are going to need a Christian's hand. Be spirit led. Ask God who that person is. You've probably got people on your mind already who you know that will need that hand. I had a few notes. I'm not going to re-preach it. You come up. Where do you spend eternity? With God. The world has got an opinion. Who's the expert? Is it this guy? Or is it Jesus? I think it's amazing. Come on, let's worship the greatest expert.
Amen. Should we stand? Stand again. Amen. Well, thank you, Father, that you that you're with us, you're for us, Lord, that you stepped down from heaven and picked us up, like Sivan was saying. You went across all sorts of boundaries of everything to come to us, God. You didn't despise us in our messed upness or problems, but you came to us, and Lord, we want to do it to others. And we thank you, God, that you're wonderful and glorious, and your amazing grace, Lord. It's all grace, Lord. Everything in that passage is grace. It's all grace, God. All undeserved favor to people who don't deserve it. And I thank you, that's what you've done for us, your amazing grace. We just want to worship you and thank you a little more. Amen.
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 I'll sing for all that you've done for me.
worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. For so worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy, worthy, yeah, we say worthy. This is amazing, yeah. This is a feeling of praise, Lord, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, hallelujah, that I would be set free, yeah. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Yeah, la 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 la. One more time, this is amazing grace. This is amazing grace. Yes, Lord, this is unfailing love. That you would take my place, hallelujah, yeah. You would lay down your, yes, Lord, that I would be set free, yeah, yeah. Oh, Lord Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me,
amen. That was a way to finish, wasn't it? Well, I don't know what to say. I can't follow that. No, I'm not even going to try. But God can follow it. If anybody needs any prayer for anything that we've said this morning or anything else, if you've got fears of what's going to happen, come and get prayer for it. If you want prayer for anything else, please come. I'm just going to pray over the offering. Yes, Lord, I just thank you for any money that has been given this morning and that we put it to good use, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Brews and coffees, teas, anybody who wants to help serving that, go over there and ask Christiana because she's going first. All right.
Well done. All right. That was fun. Well done. I love that you nailed the funny one, the new one that drew me close to you. One that went a bit wrong.